you're about to do the 20-second intro, so maybe what can be happening inside the program.
Thank you. What camera?
Camera 2.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Do you like the watered down version or the real one?
Let's go. And 5, 4, 3, 2.
Right now, VFN TV, Russia and Israel celebrate a 25-year relationship. We're going to be discussing also some things that occur right before a big recession, and they're happening right now. Rick Jordan talks about time to prepare, and Francis Chan is going to be speaking to us today about the purpose of our life and even marriage. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing a lot of lines to be
that we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. We're so excited to be with you today, and we have a wonderful program in store for you. We're going to be talking today about Israel and their celebration of their relationship with Russia. Yeah, I just said Russia. What has happened where Israel today can celebrate a relationship with Russia. I mean, to think that Vladimir Putin could be possibly more of a friend to the Prime Minister of Israel than our very own President of the United States. We are living in some very serious and challenging times. The Prime Minister of Israel just went to Russia, like I said, to be able to have a discussion with Putin regarding their last meeting back in April. They were discussing some situations involving the Syrian war, the civil war that's taking place, as well as a Palestinian peace agreement and what can be worked out. And so there are the talks and furthering those discussions. But while they were there discussing, they had an exhibit that was created for Israel. It's called Open Doors. And I want to just read to you some of the remarks that the Prime Minister made while he was there. But I thought that this was interesting. He said, "We certainly feel at home." This is what the Prime Minister said, Netanyahu. "Israel's doors are open to Russia, and Russia's doors are open to Israel." Listen, we're living in some very serious days. We want to encourage you to continue to pray for Israel and pray that in this election cycle that we will elect a president that is a friend to Israel and that will stand with Israel no matter what. We have some coverage we want you to see in regards to this meeting, this celebration, if you will, of their 25-year relationship between Israel and Russia. Watch this.
The government of Moscow welcomes you to the capital of Russia. Thank you for the warm welcome in Moscow. We certainly feel at home. Israel's doors are open to Russia, and Russia's doors are open to Israel. We are marking 25 years since the resumption of relations between us, and not only in culture and technology, but in so many other fields as well. All of these things are being shown here in this innovative exhibit. There are bonds of sympathy and empathy between Israel and Russia, with a common past that has tragic chapters for both peoples, but also a very strong willingness to grasp and develop the future and move forward in creating a better world. My wife and I and our entire delegation are very moved to be here, and it is an honor to dedicate this exhibit in this occasion, 25 years since the resumption of relations.
Interesting, interesting times. Listen, we're going to go to a quick break, but when we get back from this break, we're going to be discussing how something big that always happens right before a recession occurs has just happened, as well as why we need to prepare by Rick Joyner. We've been talking for some time now that it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times, and maybe we're beginning to see how these two things are going to be converging. And out of crisis and chaos, we could see revival. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission's to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. It's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Man, we have so much to discuss with you today, and we're excited that you're viewing VFN TV or listening on the podcast or wherever you connect with VFN TV. You may be even on the app. Well, we have all those things available for you. Don't forget, you can always go to VFNTV.com to find out more ways to connect with us as you take VFN on the go. But we want to talk today, Steve. You know, we've been talking about some time about how it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times based upon some of the things that the Lord has showed us prophetically, as well as in dreams and night visions. And not just us, but many believers around the world, including some of you who are viewing today. These are serious days.
Yes, they are.
These are days that require wisdom. They require days that require a lot of prayer. And a new report has just come out, and actually a new article that was written by Michael Schneider in regards to what is happening in the economy. You know, we have seen a lot, and we've shared this with you on VFN TV, and of course, you can always go to the Torch, and we'll have some of these past segments related for you today. But we've been talking about some of the prophetic visions, you know, where We've seen paper money being sucked up and burned, and the economy falling in six minutes. And, you know, Rick Joyner saying that he has saw economic collapse, a global collapse. And don't forget about the Shemitah, Four Blood Moons. It just keeps kind of going. And sometimes people have wondered, you know, what's going to happen or where is it? You know, listen, this is what God said, so you just need to pay attention and be prayerful. But something has just happened that has happened before past recessions, according to what Michael Snyder has just written in this article. And this comes on the heels, Steve, of one of the worst job reports in the last 6 years. You know, there's a job report that comes out, and it typically measures how many jobs have been added to the economy, right? How many people are working, employed, producing, and earning an income. And a lot of times you can base an economy by how many people are working and also how many people are not working, the unemployment rate. Well, in particularly what's really concerning, and this particular thing has been happening right before the nation has gone into a recession, and they're saying that jobs are down, but in particularly jobs that are temporary.
Yeah.
Temporary workers.
Right.
Short-term workers. Mm-hmm. That has been down big time since December of 2015. And that's normally an indication or a sign that a recession has begun. You know, when you're in the middle of recession, you don't find that out until much later.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, by the way, we've come to realize that for the last 6-8 months, we've been in recession, right? So you can begin to start looking at some of the signs. And recession doesn't mean that it's over, but it means that we need to pay attention. It means that as the people of God, as Christians, that God will speak to us about certain things that are on the way so that we can prepare. Not so that we can just have, you know, a parachute for us, but so that we can prepare so that we can be most fruitful in the coming season and in the time. You know, we're going to be talking a lot about that today. We're going to be talking about, you know, the will of God and why God wants us to do certain things. A lot of times, Steve, we think that it's God's positioning us for us.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually positioning us so that we can be most effective, most fruitful, and the biggest blessing to others, and of course for the advancement of his kingdom. You know,
for what he's doing.
It's about him,
right.
You know. So many times we kind of get it twisted. We are always kind of seems to be asking God to bless what we're doing,
right,
instead of us doing what God is blessing. And I tell you, that is a recipe for success, you know. Stop trying to figure it out. Just get all in to what God is doing. And I'm telling you, it's one of the secrets to living a blessed life, one of the secrets to living the good life is to do what God is blessing. And he's blessing quite a bit of things. But this weak jobs report, the fact that temporary workers' jobs are way down, but also continually for the last 18 months, U.S. factory orders are way, way down. And that's you know, another factor that's contributing to this. As well, in this article, he begins to talk about how George Soros, he's a financial guru, if you will, and reportedly, allegedly, has been involved in making a lot of money by crashing other countries' economies. Really
gently easing them down.
Yeah, yeah. Really just, you know, serious stuff. And he reportedly he's been dumping his stocks and buying gold. And so this was reported in Fortune magazine, and people are taking notice, like, what is happening, what is on the horizon. And we want to encourage you. We want to let you know, hey, this is coming, right? But you can be prepared. You want to be prepared. You want to be alert. Listen, you know, kingdoms will come, kingdoms will go, but God's kingdom will remain forever. And the man who does the will of God will remain forever. And we need to be aware.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's so important, like you're saying, it's just like the kingdoms are going to rise, kingdoms are going to fall. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Jesus says that either we're going to focus on, you know, the kingdoms in this world, or we're going to focus on his kingdom, the Father's kingdom. And we can't live in both. And you're seeing right now, it's just like sign after sign after sign of just collapse, destruction, of just division. I mean, how much division right now is happening? But regardless of what we see in the world, we're not called to follow the ways of this world. We're called to follow the ways of Christ.
Yeah.
And when we realize the fact that, listen, God's economy is not undergoing a recession right now.
No.
And it's just like when we get that focus on that concern, it's just like regardless of what happens here, if we continue to focus on what God is doing, like you're saying, what he's blessing, then we're not going to get focused on regardless of what's happening in the horizontal.
Yeah. Keep it vertical. Keep it relating mm-hmm. to the Lord. But you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. And we've been talking about this for some time on our program, that it's just wise, it's prudent to make preparation in the event that, you know what, there is a serious calamity economically, and you want to be prepared. You want to make sure that you have done the due diligence. Your regret is such a horrible word. And why regret when God's sharing with us what's on the horizon and what we can do to prepare ourselves, not just to take care of ourselves and our loved ones, but so that we can use this opportunity to minister mm-hmm. to others. Understand that right now in Venezuela, they are going through horrific, horrific trials. And, you know, we need to be prepared so that we can pray for them, but also so that we can learn what, you know, what we can do in a time like this. And we're going to be talking about what's the other side of what's happening in Venezuela. Some reports are that they're hunting, believe it or not, cats and dogs to eat. The food situation is so bad that they're breaking into supermarkets. Inflation at 1,000%. Mm-hmm. Stay with us in this program because we're going to break out some things that are happening there that you just need to learn from, you know, and we need, can't forget about yeah. the church there in Venezuela and to pray for them because this tragedy is actually turning out to be a tremendous blessing because God's moving in Venezuela. We're going to be sharing that. But before we do, we're going to go to break. When we get back from this break, we're going to be sharing with you a word from Rick Joyner as he talks about why. You know, he's saying to prepare, but he's going to tell you why we need to prepare. Mm. But before we go to break, let's do talk about a special offer. We have a special offer for you today. It's available to all of our VFN TV partners. We appreciate you standing with us. And as a special gift just for you, consider being a VFN TV partner today.
Did you know that it's our sponsors and partners that make VFN TV possible? Become a partner today. We have an offer for you. For your partnership of any amount, it's offer 2007. It's entitled Hindrances to Love and Power. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said the kingdom of God is not about mere words, but of power. Are you wondering why you might not be seeing more power of the kingdom of God in your life and ministry as a believer? This message addresses that very thing. Hindrances to love, hindrances to power, and you'll be greatly inspired and encouraged as you begin to see the fullness of the kingdom by faith manifest in your life. It's the offer, 2007, Hindrances of Love and Power. You can partner by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompts, or by mailing to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2007, Hindrances to Love and Power. The world needs to see us moving in the fullness of kingdom power.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Can you lose your job for referring to your faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
out of the blue here all of a sudden last Wednesday morning. Here comes my boss walking into one of the stores I was in, and he goes, I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, for what? And he said, harassment. You can't tell people that if you're not religious, you're going to go to H-E-L-L. And I said, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah, let me tell you this. You can't be fired for your faith, and that to be documented. There was this attempt a few years ago to create what was called a religious-free zone at the workplace, but that did not come into fruition. And we beat those guidelines back. So, again, that's an overreaction. Let me get you in touch also with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help. And, by the way, great resources, Gary, on our website. The On the Issues section, when you go there, right there on the website, has a whole section about workplace and what you can and cannot do. But since you've been terminated here, let me get you in touch with our lawyers.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
The word today is engaged. Jan Meller from Pensacola, Florida, who's in human resources, wants me to talk about it. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I can still remember I was in my 20s the first time I heard Zig Ziglar speak. I was in Dayton, Ohio. I was on the front row. I'd never heard him before. And for 2 hours, he walked across that stage. He had us all in the very palm of his hand. We were totally engaged. We were totally immersed in what he was saying. That day was one of the eureka moments in my life because I had a speaker that engaged me by his communication style, and I had a person engage me because of what he said. He said something that day that changed my life. He said, if you'll help other people get what they want, they in turn will help you get what you want. That was a life-changing day for me. I was engaged by the person and by the subject. As I think about it now, there's nothing I enjoy more than a conversation with another person of which I am engaged. Time goes so fast, and the experience is exhilarating.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And with me in the studio is Steve Kolesheski. We want to go straight into Rick Joyner. He shares with us why it's time to prepare. Watch this.
How long have you been preparing your church, would you say?
Well, I've been preaching preparedness for a long time, many years, 7 or 8 years.
Really?
At least. And
longer than me, probably.
Maybe. I don't know. It may have started at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it was back then when you and I were getting together a lot. I don't know, but I felt like the Lord showed me that. I felt like back then I would encourage our people, when you go to the store, just buy a couple of extra cans or a few whatever and set them aside. And you don't have to panic. You don't have to do it all at once. Mm-hmm. But that was years ago. Mm-hmm. I would step it up as I believe the time is getting shorter. Mm-hmm. Now buy 4 cans, 6 cans, 8 cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you can buy these buckets and this food and everything. But and I am telling our people, look, you don't have a whole lot more time, I don't think, when many things can happen that can require us to need that kind of preparation. But I think it's valid. And I also think it's wisdom, and I think it is the Lord's will. You know, we often build our theology on the extremes of Scripture, which is a basic conflict with Scripture. And I hear people saying all the time, well, the Lord said he would take care of me. And he does. He will. But how does he do that? I mean, he used Joseph. He took care of Joseph. But he had Joseph do something. And most of the time, he has his people do something.
That's right.
You know, we have a couple of incidents in Scripture where he says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to take care of this. Well, many Christians build their whole theology on that when there are 200 times when he tells his people to fight.
Yeah.
Fight to take your land. Fight. I mean, over and over. Most of the time. So you don't base your theology on the extremes, mm-hmm. but you're always open to that.
Yeah.
If the Lord speaks, that trumps everything.
That's right.
But I'm not going to base that on an idealistic view. I want to hear loud and clear, and on something this important, I want Gabriel to come with a scroll.
I'm telling you.
You know,
you're
I mean,
right.
It's really, to violate the weight of Scripture, you want serious, high-level revelation, not just an impression.
Right.
You know, so the weight of Scripture tells me, be prepared. Now,
and you were very strong telling your congregation, and you've started to have supplies at your ministry, and you're even, I think you said you're putting out a catalog so your people can find things. And, you know, you and I may be the only church preparing, but I think there's thousands of them, really.
There are. There are many. And on different levels. But I think it is a word that is becoming increasingly well-received, and it's important that it is. But, you know, what we also teach is, okay, if you know that power may be out for a while and different things, this is how you would prepare. I think you need to mirror that with spiritual preparation.
Amen. Yes.
We need to have Bibles, Bible studies.
Yeah.
Your neighbors, without their television coming on, are going to be ready to read anything you give them.
That's right.
You know, to me, this is harvest time.
Yes!
This is harvest time. And
So it's our time. It's the church time. It's the soul-winning time.
Right. And in natural food, I want to have enough to, if I know there's a family next door where I can bring them a meal or whatever and say, look, I know you're probably, and bring them material to read. This really is the time we've got to prepare for salvation, for saving souls.
Yes. It.
And for
that's
discipling it. Them. And yes. I believe it's going to be the best of times we've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to have, we don't want to be the ones that need ministry.
Right.
We don't want to be the ones giving.
That's it.
Amen.
And there it
at
is.
That time.
We don't want to be the burden.
Great Wisdom by Rick Joyner. And listen, we've been encouraging as well many people to be prepared. In fact, just for signing up for the Torch newsletter, and you can do that at VFNTV.com, we have a free gift for you, and it's called Prudent Preparation. In that free gift, you will get all the information it's necessary to be prepared in these times.
Beautiful wisdom.
Not just to take care of yourself, but to be ready to do the Lord's work, to be ready to pull in this awesome harvest that is on the horizon. And with that being said, I mean, look what's going on in Venezuela. Right now, the country is in a downward spiral. We talked about it at the top of this program, but we're talking about how they're hunting cats and dogs to eat.
For food, yeah.
They're breaking into supermarkets right now for food, and inflation reportedly is at 1,000%. Inflation, you know, for those who don't know, a basic definition is when the price of goods and services go up in the economy. You know, and that happens a lot of different ways, but one of the ways is when demand for that item becomes, you know, really high and the supply of that item is very low. And so right now the country's out of sugar in Venezuela. They're out of toilet paper. Think about that. They're out of toilet paper. So that one square that's available is cost through the roof. It's high. When you look at it, 1,000% inflation, that's like a gallon of milk that, let's say, costs $5. That gallon of milk right now, it's not $5, let's say. When you have 1,000% inflation, it's like that gallon of milk costing $50. So there may be some milk, but you may not be afford to be able to get it. And this is what they're experiencing right now in Venezuela. And a recent article was just released about a ministry organization that went on the ground in Venezuela to see the conditions of the people, to see what they could do. And they were pleasantly surprised, Steve, when they found out that the church is awakening in Venezuela and that they're in the midst of revival in certain pockets and parts of Venezuela. They're crying out to God. They're worshiping him. And what a beautiful thing. Listen, when chaos comes in and things happen in the midst of chaos and crisis, in fact, that's one of the prophetic words, that out of chaos will come a fresh wind of the Spirit and there'll be a move of God.
See the order.
And we're seeing that happen in Venezuela right now, that God is moving. And so I want to encourage you that no matter what you're facing, no matter what the crisis is going on in your life, whether, you know, look at this economic situation that they're facing, that if you would turn your heart to God, if you would reach out to him right now and cry out for an outpouring in your own life, personal revival, right? We repent, we seek, ask God if there's anything that he needs to forgive us for. We need to ask for forgiveness, and we just press into everything that he has. And I tell you, when your back is against the wall, you know, look up.
Yeah.
Look up. There was a general that said that there's an enemy to the right of us, gentlemen. There's an enemy to the right of us, to the left of us, and there's an enemy.
We're surrounded by the enemy.
Right in front of us. There's no way that the enemy can get away from us now.
We've got it right where we want it.
And that's what you want to do when you're facing a situation like that. So, look, we're surrounded. We're just going to press into this thing with God, and we're just going to believe God to move in a powerful, powerful way. And so I want to encourage you with that. But as we pivot here and transition in this program, I want to talk to you about what Francis Chan has just talked about in purpose of marriage and family. You know, today we're seeing so many kind of people focusing on family, and you know, family's a good thing. You know, it's ordained by God. You know, God wants us to have family. But I think sometimes we can lose track of the purpose of family, the purpose of a marriage. And when you lose the focus of the purpose, instead of as a believer, instead of worshiping God, you begin to worship the blessing that he brought into your life. You know, you didn't have a job. God gave you a job. Now you worship the job. You know, you pray for a spouse and God gave you a spouse, but now it's about the spouse and the marriage instead of about God. And Francis Chan talks about, listen, let's not focus on the marriage. Let's not focus on the family, but let's put our focus on the purpose. Why has God brought these two one? You know, we often talk about the will of God. You know, we're praying, Lord, what is your will? But it's not just important to know what God's will is. We need to know why is it his will. Mm-hmm. When we understand why, we'll do the things that he's called us to do. So let's go to Francis Chan as he begins to teach us and give us this wisdom. Watch this.
It's about this greater calling we have of serving God, this greater calling of making disciples, and marriage is a wonderful means to that end. But we have to be careful that we don't just focus on marriage, but that our marriages are focused and focused on the mission, on what God's called us to do. Because at the end of our lives, we could have a wonderful, happy marriage, and then at the end of our lives, God's not going to say to us, well done. That's not what he asked us to do. You know, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to those of us who are pursuing the things that he's called us to. And when we do that, that's what keeps it together. See, my desire is one day I want my wife, Lisa, to stand before God and for God to look at her. I mean, you understand what an intense moment that's going to be, to stand before a holy God. I mean, you and I right now are breathing because of this being who gave us life, who created us. And he says that all things were created by him and for him. He didn't make me so I would just walk this planet and enjoy my life and have a happy little marriage and happy little kids. He created me for something. And one day, I'm going to stand before that God. One day, Lisa is going to stand before that God. And I love her so much that I want her to hear the words from God Almighty. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're faithful with what I gave you down there. And now I'm going to put you in charge of so many things up here. Because that's for eternity. See, that's the goal, and that's the goal that she has for me. She wants me to stand before God one day and say, well done. See, that's what this is about. Unbelievers. I mean, I know people who don't know Jesus that have wonderful marriages and happy marriages. But we've got to be focused on this mission. And when we focus on this mission, that's what makes our marriages so, so wonderful, so enjoyable. I mean, I tell you, I can't imagine life without Lisa. I can't imagine life without this woman. I can't imagine pursuing this mission of God without her, because it really has changed everything. So I love talking about it. I love speaking about marriage, and it's just been an amazing thing. And I want to share a passage with you today that isn't a typical marriage passage. In fact, some have even seen this passage as anti-marriage. But to me, it's the secret to our marriage. And it's 1 Corinthians 7. And I say some see this as almost anti-marriage because in this passage, Paul's making an argument for being single. But if you understand the principle behind this passage, you realize, wow, this is the secret to it all. This is the secret to having a great marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, Paul says this. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. There's a great verse to start with, right? Or that Paul's saying from now on, okay, because time is short, from now on, those who have wives, you should live like you don't have a wife. What in the world is he talking about? This is the same Paul that tells us in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But here in this context, he's saying, do you understand? Life is this time is so short. The word is contracted. There's just a short period of time. It's the same thing Christ said where he says, the time is short or the time is at hand. Some of you may not know my testimony, but my mom actually died giving birth to me. And so that's why I moved out to Hong Kong. I was actually born in the States, but then I was sent off when I was like 2 weeks old to Hong Kong to grow with my grandmother because my dad couldn't take care of us all. So my mother died giving birth to me, which is an awesome thing. From what I understand, there were going to be complications, and she knew that ahead of time. But she says, you know what, I'll let God choose. And so that's like one of the most beautiful things in my life is to think that this woman gave her life so I could be here right now. That's insane. That's a legacy. And so I understand the brevity of life. I came back to the States because my dad had remarried. And I had my family back together again. But then when I was about 8 years old, my mother died in a car accident. My stepmom died in a car accident. My dad got married again. Yeah, he was a stud. My dad got married again. And... But then when I was 12, my dad died of cancer. So when I read this passage and it says, hey, look, it's not all about marriage. You understand, this time is short. And that means my mom, my stepmom, my dad, you know, by the time I was 12, they had all already come into the presence of God. For God to either say, well done, or to go, what did you do with your life? And so I look at this passage and I go, I know, I'm not expecting, you know, this long life and everything else. I've seen it pass right in front of my eyes. And there's something bigger, which is eternal. And we've got to understand that. And here he says that the appointed time is grown very short. Those who have wives live as though they had none. Verse 30, those who mourn as though they were not mourning. Those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with this world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. He goes, this present, you understand, whatever you're into, you can't get too into it because this earth in its present form is passing away. Do you understand that marriage, Scripture makes it very clear, is one of those things of this present form of earth. The Bible is very clear that we're not going to be married in heaven. My wife and I will not be married in heaven. Now, for some of you go, wow, that's depressing, right? You're looking at your spouse going, that's depressing. Others of you going, that's kind of exciting. You know, no, I don't mean that. No, not here. But the truth is he says, you understand this world in its present form is passing away and there's something eternal. And he's saying the time is short. And it's about this mission. You got to get it. There's got to be a mission to your marriage. You both have to understand, look, here's what I'm on the earth to do. And Jesus made it really clear, didn't he? After he rose from the grave, he says, all authority's been given to me, and anyone who's been in church for a year or two has heard it and probably memorized it. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go, make disciples. You obey everything that I commanded you, and then you teach others to obey everything that I commanded you. When God gives us a command, we study it, we memorize it, but how many of us actually do it? I mean, how many disciples have you made? You know, I'm constantly encouraging my wife. I'm like, oh, you're such a great mentor. You could reach out to this neighbor or that neighbor, lead them to the Lord. You know, you can be an example. We've always had people living in our house ever since we were married, just so they could see and so we could really disciple them because we thought, this house doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And so if people need a place to stay, let them stay here. And let's give them an example of a Christian marriage. Let's give them an example of a Christian family. A dad who loves his kids, a mom who loves her kids, mom and dad who love each other, because so many people have never seen that. And let's make disciples. Let's train people up. You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes. with the commands of God. When you were a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon Says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus Says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth. And so my wife and I, what we do is we keep each other focused on that. Because this world in its present form is passing away. We've got to love each other beyond this earth. We've got to love each other eternally. And say, I'm focused on who you're going to be before God. And I can't wait till we're walking around together with him forever. That's the focus here. Verse 32, Paul continues and he says, I want you to be free from anxieties. He says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul was making a case for being single. He says, I've seen married couples. They get so into each other and their focus is, oh, how do I please my husband? How do I please my husband? How do I please my husband? And the men are all, oh, how do I please my wife? He goes, and their interests are divided. He goes, but I've seen the single man, the single woman, and they've got this undivided devotion to the Lord. They're just focused. What does God want me to do? What does he want me to do on this earth? See, the goal, though, at the end of it is to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Here's the goal. God says, Paul says, I want every single individual just to have this undivided devotion to the Lord. I want you focused on him, focused on what he's called you to do, what he's made you to do, focused on eternal things. This undivided devotion to the Lord, I want you to think. What do you think about during a given day? Do you spend time thinking about family affairs or the Lord's affairs? Thinking about what God wants you to do as a family, or just thinking about your family? Because I'm telling you, if you focus on the mission of God, that's what brings this whole thing together. There have been so many crazy ideas that the Lord has put in my mind, uncomfortable things that the Lord has put in my mind over the years, and to have someone support me you know, after being married a couple months, to say, you know, I think we should let other people live with us. It's not a normal thing. Every time I said, you know what, I think we should just give everything we have away. I know, let's just empty the bank account because here's a need. And to see her respond and go, that's a little scary to me. I go, can you just trust me this time? Watch how good God is. And then time and time again, she's seeing God's blessing. And to have someone support me in that, encourage me in that. I remember coming back from Africa and seeing the poverty over there the first time and just coming home to my wife and go, I'm such a mess right now. I love these little kids I met and I can't live in this house anymore. I feel like we should just give away as much as we can. Here's a mom, of, you know, who's got her home and to say, I think we should just start looking at trailer parks, start looking at cheapest thing we can find if we're going to take this book seriously about love your neighbor as yourself. And I told her, I go, you know what, but I don't want to just make this decision. I want you to come to Africa with me. I want you to see what I've seen because I think you'll agree with me. And she says, no, I trust you. I don't need to go there yet. And for her just to, the next day, start walking around a trailer park, going, is this where we move our family? And finally move them into this tiny house. And here's this mother of four, this tiny house. We've taken a couple other people. And she's just rolling with it. And she goes to Africa with me, you know, after the fact. And she goes, wow, if I saw this, I wouldn't have even fixed up the house. I go, exactly. This is insane. To coming home one day and go, man, there's this lady at the rescue mission. And she's got three kids and she's pregnant. And I don't know how in the world you're going to have a baby in a rescue mission and take care of your other three kids. How are they ever going to get back on your feet? I go, I'm thinking maybe they should live with us. And have a wife that goes, that's weird. I was praying this morning, like, God, what do you want us to do with that extra room over there? And I go, well, she doesn't speak English and I haven't even met her. And I just heard about her, and she goes, well, let's drive down to the rescue mission right now. And have a wife to drive down the rescue mission and talk to this lady. And it's like, hola, mi casa, tu casa. You know, you know, trying to communicate. You guys, I'm telling you, it's been nuts. And this journey we've been on, and God's been so good to us. But it's not about this life. It's about being effective in this life.
I love it. I love Francis Chan. It's not about this life. It's about being effective in this life. Listen, it's not about the American dream. It's not about the home and the house. It's about God. It's about the purposes of God. And I love this because this is so true. Why has God allowed those relationships in your life? Mm. Why has God allowed you to be at that job, live in that neighborhood, be married to that person, or be single? It's all for his purposes. And when we make the focus anything else, we run the temptation of making it an idol and serving it instead of serving God. Listen, life is but a vapor. We're here for a very short, short time, and then it's over with. And like the Word of God says, you're not even going to be married in heaven. And Malachi 2:15 says that the purpose for godly the purpose of marriage is for godly offspring. That's the whole purpose. It's that a godly offspring will come out of this union, out of this relationship. Is it just physical godly offspring, or is God allowing you two to come together so that you can actually have offspring in the kingdom of God? Listen, God's given us a mission, every single believer, and he told us in Matthew 28 what it is. It's to go into all the world, everywhere we live and have life and have fun and make disciples, make followers of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. Do what we're doing here at the Dream Center. We are making disciples. We've prepared in advance, and we're preparing and bringing people into a place where they can become a disciple and also a discipler of others. Join us on the Emmaus Road. You know, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, after he died on the cross, he comes back and he disguised himself so that they wouldn't recognize him. And ultimately, you know the story, you know, Jesus reveals himself to them, but their hearts were burning as he was talking to them. Well, we've put together a plan, if you will. It's called the Emmaus Road. And we want to encourage you. I want you to get on the road with us. It's an opportunity for you yourself to become a disciple. In fact, I want you to see, you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and go to Hello Church, and you'll see a prompt for the Emmaus Road. And when you see it, click on it, and maybe you want to participate with us. It's once you go down this path and down this road, it's designed for you to encounter God every step of the way, and also for you to help other people. That's the whole point. You don't have to be a master disciple, if you will. You don't have to be a perfect follower. But once you become a follower, you can help other people along this path. And there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more enduring in all eternity is to help someone not only come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but become a true disciple, one that follows Jesus in everything. This is what we're here for. This is the purpose of our life. And Steve, there's no greater purpose. Mm. We want to encourage you to jump on this road with us, and let's bring so many people down this path to come into this awesome relationship with Jesus. Steve, as we come to the end of this program, would you just pray for us? And as we just pray with our audience, we encourage you, please pray for us as well.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And God, we just lift up Israel to you right now, Lord. We ask you, God, that you would just protect Israel, that you would keep them safe, and give wisdom, Lord, to Benjamin Netanyahu and all that's going on in Israel, Lord. And give us wisdom now in these times and seasons for the church, as we're seeing repeated signs, after dream, after vision of the reality of what we're seeing right now in the storms. Help us to prepare, knowing the fact it's not about food and water, Lord, but it's about the harvest, God. This life is about making disciples, because we're going to stand before you and have to answer for the life that we lived, regardless of the relationships in our lives, because it's all about Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, Lord, and send a third great awakening, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching. This is one boutique shop you don't want to miss. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.